It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast, Elliot Shore Parks. I was about to say we've made it. We have almost made it.
We're basically so close to
the draft. Yeah. And I'll tell you, Elliot, and we've talked a lot about, you know, lack of excitement. It's kind of been a dull draft, which
it's exciting now.
That's where I was going is like right. Today I woke up now that the, you know, the pain of the Sixers loss is, it was yesterday. Yeah. Not that that went away, but yesterday was a cope with the day. And I woke up today and I'm like, you know what? The freaking draft is tomorrow. And I'm finally fired up, man. Yeah. I'm ready for the draft.
Also, I mean, Howie's got to be the most unpredictable GM in the league when it comes to this stuff. So I'm excited to talk about what we think they're going to do, final predictions, all those things. But as always, the real prediction is no one has any idea what Howie's going to do.
Oh, dude. So, all right. So let's dive right in.
Yeah, let's get into it.
We'll get to final thoughts later. We're going to get to some Elliot Big Board stuff that we have not touched on yet. And we'll re-rack your top five. We did it on the show, but for those who missed it quickly, we'll go through those. But let's start with all the rumors, because I would say right now, the last few days, the biggest thing has been how he's trading up. Promise you 100% he's, but Daniel Jeremiah was on a show and he said 0% chance they pick at 22 one way or another, like 0%, which I think is a little aggressive, but then today
Get much more aggressive
today during my show you're texting me Dan Graziano, they're trading up for a wide receiver, we've heard they're trading up for Quinyon Mitchell, we've heard so many things. I want your opinion on this whole thing. You've covered Howie for a long time, Elijah. I will just say going in that it all feels like smoke to me. Like, I go in being like, I don't, sure Howie could trade. Guess what I'm going to predict? Howie's going to trade up. Look, I'm right every year. Like, it just feels like Howie, like you always say, the Eagles are always in these rumors because they're Eagles. It feels like everyone's like, oh, if I put Howie in something, people will believe it. That's 100%. Where I'm at.
And so, all right, there's a bunch of different things we'll go through. One, the idea that there's a report that Howie's trying to move up. Like, every single year we get this report. Yep. It was last year, they were 10, and it was still a lot of they're trying to move up. So this comes from Howie calling teams. He calls every team in the league, finding out what it will take to move up. And then when reporters call other GMs, they go, well, what teams do you think are trying to move up? And they go, well, I talked to Howie. And that's where that comes from. So is Howie trying to move up? I'm sure Howie is getting as much information as possible. So if on draft night, like, let's say Talisi Fuaga falls to 15. Well, he's already talked to Denver then, and I think Denver's 15.
12.
12? Okay.
Either way.
I wrote down some spots where they could trade up, which we can go through.
16 was a spot that has been mentioned ahead of Jacksonville.
Draft prep, here we go. Okay, so the spots I think they could, I'll find it in a second. But regardless, how he calls these teams up and gets all the information. So the reason you always hear the Eagles are a team that are trying to move up, because Howie is very aggressive in calling around. Do I think the Eagles will trade up? Yes, of course there's a chance Eagles will trade up. They've traded up, I think, 3 of the last 4 years. If a guy is sitting there at 20, I think Howie will be very aggressive and just going to get his guy. I don't think that he's going to sit and wait and like make sure he can get there. So, all right. The 12th spot with the Broncos, I think, makes a ton of sense. The Broncos are trying to get more picks. They're rebuilding. If you trade 22 and 50, that gets you up to 12. 15 with the Colts, you get in front of the Seahawks, who are looking for offensive line and defensive line. That one, 22 plus probably 53. It's a few spots later. 18 with the Bengals, you get in front of the Rams, who I think could be a Byron Murphy team. That gets you, if you do 22 and the 4th round pick, you get there. And then a smaller move up would be if you trade with the Rams, the Steelers and Dolphins, two teams directly in front of the Eagles, are both looking for offensive line help. So if outside of the top 10, let's say Joe Alt is the only offensive lineman that's taken in the top 10, then I think you could see how we start to get aggressive to move up and just see at least what it would take. So before we talk into specific positions, that's my thing on trading up. I think Howie is, of course, going to be aggressive and looking to do it. And I think all these reporters saying it, I don't know. I hate to do this, but it's like, duh. Like, yeah, of course.
I feel
like,
the same
and
way.
And I'm not denying. I'm sure they are talking to general manager
and
telling
them. It is a sourced report.
Yes, but
that is obvious.
I wouldn't, if, you know, the real ones listen to this pod, like, I wouldn't be in my car listening to this and thinking, man, Howie's more likely than normal to trade up. I think he's just as likely as ever to move up as he is in any draft.
Love the real ones, by the way. Shout out to whatever. Yeah. I was listening to you on the afternoon show
Scott,
yesterday.
Scott, I think it
loved
was.
Loved it. Guy calls in, he's like,
and I remembered his name.
He's like,
yeah,
let me go at you,
I know,
right now.
Yeah.
I thought it was phenomenal. But whenever anyone says real one roadie on the air, it's like my favorite.
It's very exciting. All it's right, a so warming feeling.
I totally agree with you. It all feels like smoke. I think Howie's absolutely looking to trade up. I think Howie's looking to trade down. I think Howie is looking at everything. Howie will know what people want, what's going on. He is doing all the pre-draft prep that he can, so when the night comes, he's ready. And that's what he does, and great for him. I want to get to a specific position, specifically based on what you just said, because you just said trade here because of the O-lineman, D-lineman, right, this and that. The biggest report that we've heard recently, prior to the Graziano one, and we'll get to the Graziano one because that has nothing to do with those positions either. Actually,
right,
the two positions we've heard them trade up for are not linemen. We've heard the idea of them trading up Tony Pauline, who, you know, has been connected to the Eagles.
I think he definitely is worth listening to.
He worked for the Eagles for a long time, yep, with their video stuff and all that. He said they're looking for Quinyon Mitchell, that how he loves him trading up. Daniel Jeremiah had an interesting point that he said he's called around. The way he finds out about what teams are interested in positions is he calls position coaches at colleges and says, who's been doing the most work on,
yep,
your guys? He said the Eagles have been calling about cornerbacks a lot. So that, then you pair the report, which we'll get into more depth, but today Dan Graziano is saying they're treating up for a wide receiver or potentially Brock Bowers.
Yep.
What do you make of not just the, because when you're talking about trading up, you're talking about linemen. So what do you make of we've talked about the idea of trading up. Of course he could have ever. What about the specific positions being attached to these reports?
So my gut instinct on cornerback is that it's a smokescreen. That's my gut. Now, the reason I think that is because if you look at the cornerback position, Howie has not traditionally invested high resources in it. Now, I know they signed Saquon, and he's not traditionally done that with running backs. That is money versus a draft pick for what it's worth. I do think they really like Bijan, so I'm not dismissing they could take a corner. It's a need, like all those things. But I think the special players in this draft are on the offensive line. I don't think the special players in this draft are a corner. Does that mean Quinyon Mitchell's not a great player? No. Does it mean Terrion Arnold can't be a great player? No. But I think you can get those kind of guys in every draft. In every draft we talk about from here on out, there will be guys of the quality of Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold. I think this offensive line draft is the special draft. Like, that is where the best play, other than, obviously, like, the receivers.
The
and then
top
the,
10.
Yeah,
or top
but outside of the three receivers and the quarterbacks, it's an offensive line draft. They have the best combination of athletes. They have the best combination of ready guys that can play tackle right away. They have elite athletes that you can develop. They have guys that can play offensive guard and offensive tackle. I think the value is at offensive line. And in terms of just reading the smoke leaves, or not the smoke leaves, leading the tea leaves, and then also
smoke
the smoke.
Greens, yes,
smoke
yes, yes.
leaves, I guess, is a very different thing. But
yeah. Hey, yeah. Happy 420, everybody.
So here's what I would say. The one thing that has me believing it a little, and I don't mean this in a dismissive way, Daniel Jeremiah, but Diana Russini has been pretty locked in with the Eagles.
Very locked in.
And she did say this morning that they're looking for a corner. Now, so, I believe, not to source guess.
And again, Jeremiah said that about the position coach, but Daniel Jeremiah, also someone who worked with Howie,
right.
Like worked for the Eagles. So like, he
also connected, for sure.
Connected is my point. When he says things like that, I feel like it has a little more heft to it.
I don't see it. Now, here's like an action speak louder than words thing that I think is definitely worth mentioning. If you look at the recent draft picks, Jalen Carter visited Philadelphia. Nolan Smith visited Philadelphia. Jordan Davis visited Philadelphia. It's all Georgia guys. Kelee Ringo visited Philadelphia. Cam Jurgens came to Philadelphia. The guys that they draft at the beginning,
their top 30 visits. Matter.
Right? So they get 30 guys, for those that don't know. In the draft process, you get to bring 30 players to Philadelphia. As of now, we know 26 of those players. So they're, you know, there's four we don't know. Maybe
and just to elaborate on the top 30 visits, for those who don't know, there can be a lot of different reasons that people bring
players.
Yeah,
there can be health reasons.
I think that's probably the biggest one is health reasons, is to get a look at guys with health issues and all that. But then it can be personality. There's so many different aspects of it. And then teams will do this for smoke screens, where they will bring in a guy if they want a team to think that they're interested. But go ahead.
But the reason I think, so I agree with all that. But the reason I think they're a little more meaningful with the Eagles is if you look...
Well, you said it already. If they keep drafting guys they brought in, then that's a pattern.
Not only that, if you look at it, one of their biggest misses was in the COVID year when they had no visits and they missed on Rager, uh-huh. Right? And
Dillard, right?
They didn't have Dillard come in.
Yeah.
So while I agree there's a bunch
that's a really interesting point where Howie is like, hey, when I don't have these guys in, it doesn't go well.
Oh, wait, so 2020... They did have Rager in, I guess. In 2021 was the no visits, okay. My bad. So they didn't have Dillard in is the point I'm making. Regardless, Dillard was someone that fell. They didn't do a ton of research on. I think the reason the Eagles have these guys in is because I do think the personality really matters to them. The misses they've had, this is going back, but like Danny Watkins was a miss.
Yep.
Because of personality.
Dillard,
think, right?
A miss because of personality. No, that's a great point.
Right? So if you look, the guys they bring in matter. Now, with that being said, who have they brought in this year? So I don't think it's as simple as saying it's going to be one of these guys. But on the other hand, it might be as simple as it's going to be one of these guys. So Terrion Arnold came in. Uh-huh. Cooper DeJean came in. Kool-Aid McKinstry came in. Troy Fontanu out of Washington came in. He's the offensive guard. Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, he came in. Chop Robinson, the edge out of Penn State, came in. And another name that I just, Latua Leitu, or whatever, the edge out of UCLA. Now, obviously, he has health
concerns.
We've
talked
about
that
one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But those are the guys projected to go.
I've heard, not that I'm like a sources guy or whatever, but I've heard that they do like him.
Okay, look at you.
Look at me.
James Sources over here.
I'm just saying.
So those are the 7 guys. Yeah, 7 guys that we know that are
first round type guys.
So it could be as simple as it's going to be one of those guys. Now, if you look at it,
it is interesting that the guy
3 are corners
and
Quinyan
Mitchell not on there.
Quinyan Mitchell not on there.
And that's the one that, you know.
Yeah.
See, I buy.
Now we should caveat with this. He might have came in. We don't know.
They have 3 that,
but I would
be
pretty surprised considering the profile of player.
So I do think that they are interested in cornerback. I don't think it's a full on smokescreen. I do think that Jeremiah, I think that factoid about them talking to a lot of cornerback position coaches is an interesting nugget to file away. And I think all the smoke towards cornerback, I don't buy the Quinyan Mitchell thing. Not that it's Tony Pauline's fault. I don't buy that they're trading up for this specific guy
right now. Yeah.
Now, are they interested in cornerback? I think they are. I do buy that they're at least interested. But I'm with you. I could see them. That's the thing with Howie. Look, A.J. Brown, did we mention that guy's name before the draft, right? Like,
you just never know.
You just never
and
know.
And I also think, look, in the whole, like, breaking news business, there's no question the national guys get all the breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think the flip side of that is the national guys get used a lot for smoke screens. The local guys just don't. And now we can have an hour-long debate on the use of that. But it seems to me, in both talking to the other beat writers and seeing what they write, that the local guys think they go offensive line and the national guys think they go corner. So we'll see.
No, that's valuable. So that's interesting. So you would say that you're being on the beat, talking to other,
I was around the Eagles all year.
But my point is, you're saying that the feeling among the beats that you've talked to,
is that I think they think offensive line.
So that's what I was trying to just hammer home to.
Yeah.
That's kind of a general consensus among the guys you've talked to down at NovaCare when you guys are practicing all that stuff is most people are leaning over.
In the combine, in the owner's meeting. So that's a sense I've gotten throughout
that, that's a really interesting nugget. I think that's important.
Yeah, now, you know, it could look silly in 48 hours.
Of course. I mean, yeah. Again,
the draft could also play a thousand ways.
Here's the truth. They're in on both cornerback and offensive
100%.
Line, right? You know, it's now, about what players are where at what times and what you have to do to get them.
Here's two interesting things I saw recently that make me think offensive line even more. If you look at, first, the highest percentage of
the
percentage of hit rates of players. So I just,
it's not surprising though, but it was interesting.
But it's noteworthy too.
Yeah,
so
noteworthy.
If you look at it, the highest percentage where you hit the highest on first round picks, and the way they defined this was they're signed to a second contract. So center
is a relatively fair way to.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a fair way. A center, 92%, an offensive tackle, 59%, and guard, 50%. They're the only three positions that are above 50% hit rate.
I'm actually surprised tackle and guard weren't flipped there. The fact that
I agree. I think center and guard, if you're getting picked, you're very special.
You're elite to get go that high. But that center, that is not surprising at all. Like if you get taken in the first round center, you're probably an all time good.
Now player. There's only to your that point, there's only been 12 centers taken.
That's what I was about to say.
So,
there haven't been that many, you know?
Right. Now, but offensive tackle, there have been 64 taken and they're hit at a 59% rate. Corners, 71, so you know, a little more, but roughly the same number. 38%. Corner has one of the highest miss rates there is, or at least It's like right below middle of the pack, I should say. It's 38%. Receiver is the highest miss rate at 27%. So that was interesting.
Does that make you nervous about the receiver thing? Let's get to the receiver thing.
Well, hold on. I have one more thing.
Okay, go.
The other thing that I saw was, it was a graph, and I will say, I hate graphs. Mm-hmm. They're confusing. I don't know what else to say. So this one was basically saying
some can be confusing. That most are not.
If you look at the percentage of high quality players, and I don't know how they defined it, but high quality players that A, reach free agency, and B, like what they make, corners hit free agency on a higher clip of quality player than offensive line and defensive line. So
To be fair, it takes a little longer for corners to have success. Like, corners usually don't succeed as rookies, you know, that kind of thing.
But so, I guess my overall point from this is, I think it is easier to find quality corners in free agency or acquiring them via trade than it is offensive line. So if I look at this draft, I think, okay, they have a needed offensive line. They have better players. It's a chance to get one at a cost-effective rate. I know that corners get paid, but guards get paid at just a high clip as corners do these days. Look at what Landon Dickerson got. So I just think when you add the percentage that they could hit on the pick, the need and the value, offensive line checks more boxes than corners to me. Doesn't mean they won't take a corner, to your point. They're in on everybody. But I think they're going into the draft. If you said to Howie, how would be the perfect way this plays out? I think his dream player when he goes to bed at night is an offensive lineman and not a corner.
I don't know. I get it. And that is all logical and it all makes sense. I just think it's a much bigger need on the defense side of the ball. But again, it's how the draft plays out.
Well,
you know?
So to corner, like they have guys there. Now, we could argue the quality of the prospect, but Kelee Ringo and Isaiah Rogers are young players that have played.
By the way, we should mention that Isaiah Rogers officially
is
reinstated.
Yes. Isaiah Rogers, now this is a Pro Football Focus stat, whatever. You can take it for
what
it's worth.
Which is a little, I mean,
for sure.
But I agree,
sure.
It's something.
But it's like a nugget as to how good he was. In the year he played, the full year, among defensive players that played more than 20% of snaps, he was rated the fifth best corner in the league. I don't think he's a fifth best corner in the league. But could he be a top 32 corner that year?
Sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
So I think he's an intriguing young player. Now, he hasn't played a full year. Who knows what you're going to get
from him. Also going to help you on kick returns, too, which
yeah,
is
he's good
with
at
the
that.
New rule.
But like Kelee Ringo, young, intriguing guy. Eli Ricks, young, intriguing guy. And it's a deeper corner class, in my opinion, than his offensive line class. I think the higher end players are on the offensive line, but a corner is like the 10th best guy. He's probably better than the 10th best offensive lineman. So... And on offensive line, they don't have anybody outside of the top five, let alone they don't have a guard. So I think that while
they have guys. They got Driscoll. They got Peta. They got like dudes.
Well, Peta's gone.
Is he gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
All right. Well, they got Driscoll. They've got guys.
And I think Driscoll is even a free agent off the top of my head.
Is he
I don't
not?
Think Driscoll's back.
Really?
Like they are missing guys. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting because we've kind of just had backup offensive linemen. You know, Tyler.
Yeah,
Sheen.
Driscoll signed with the Dolphins.
Wow.
So Driscoll's
gone.
Yeah.
So who are the backup options?
I'm going to look it up right now.
That's a great question. Tyler Steen, either backup or
Tyler
starter.
Tyler Steen, right as of now, is a starting guard. Now, it is noteworthy. They gave They gave Cam Jurgens Kelsey's locker. In all the years I've covered the team, they do the starting offensive line in an order. Like, it went last year, Mailata, Dickerson, Kelsey, Jurgens, Lane. And in other years, they've moved guys around. But it's always the beginning of the year. So right now, they have Cam Jurgens in Kelsey's locker, and they have Tyler Steen in between Lane and Jurgens. Now, who else are you going to put there? Like, you can't leave it empty, but
I'm struggling to name other linemen on the team.
All right, so here's their backups. Behind my lot is Fred Johnson, who's a decent player.
They gave the extra year or two last year.
Matt Hennessy, they signed.
Of course, I should have thought they
just signed
him.
Backup center, some guy named Lasitis Smith.
Well, isn't Hennessy the backup center?
They have probably multiple spots, but
he's probably their backup.
Tyler Steen, his backup is Brett Toth.
Wow.
And then LaRaven Clark, who I didn't even know was still on the team.
This is a great point by you. Like, they don't have guys. We've not talked about that. We've talked about the starting guard spot, but we've not talked about losing Driscoll and Opetta, and like, these guys weren't great, but have been with Jeff Stoutland and know what they want and stuff. That's fascinating.
Right. So I just view it as a bigger need in terms of players. But so yeah. You want to talk about the receiver thing now?
Yeah. So interesting report. Actually, hold on. Before we get to the receiver thing, it's April.
It's wild. It's almost May.
It's almost May, which means like spring cleaning, spring weather. It's starting to get nice out. It is time to check your home's windows. It's super important. Are they cracked? Are they leaking? I know I got an issue. I'm going to get that taken care of because I got Window Nation. They won't open. They won't stay open. Do your seals seal tight and got pollen and
all
bugs
types of window terminology.
All kind of issues that you can have that you might not think about. You know, you're just like, here comes the warm weather. And then it's like, oh no, I have an issue. Get it taken care of. Call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Right now, Window Nation is offering, get this. I mean, I say these deals and it's almost hard for me to believe that they are real. Right now, Window Nation's offering to buy two windows. You get two free. So bang there. Plus, get this, zero down, zero interest, no payments for 24 months.
A lot of zeros. And not in a bad way. Not like a lot of zeros
seem
in the,
like a viable thing, but yet they do it. It is amazing. Window Nation's professional installation teams have over 10 years of experience. Their average installer is over 16 years of experience. That's a long time. It's as long as Emily and I have been together. 16 years. You know?
It's a long time.
Long time. They've installed over 20,000 windows. Emily and I have not installed over 20,000 windows.
That would be wild.
Right?
How long?
And by the way, I have installed.
How long do you think it would take you to install 20,000 windows?
Death.
I really think it would take me the rest of my life.
I could not do it.
Yeah, yes. You figure 20,000 days
like,
is how many years?
Maybe if I go to Window Nation and they teach me how to do it, do it in, 30
or 40
years.
I'm not a quick learner with this.
No, I know. And that's why, just call Window Nation. They'll take care
of you. That's 54 years.
Oh, by the way, it can install your windows in one day or less. No big deal. And, by the way, comes with a lifetime warranty.
Boom,
this deal is insane.
Boom.
It is so great. And as we know, Window Nation, just awesome people that you want to work with. We had a...
Eagles fans.
We had Eagles fans. We had a listener in Dallas.
Got his windows done. Shout out to him.
Right? And they gave him a deck. First of all, nice of them to offer anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got windows. Here's a Dak Prescott. No. He's like, I want a Jalen Hurts jersey. They're like, sure.
And they sent him one.
Yeah. Autographed.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously. Get windows. Get a Jalen Hurts autographed jersey. Didn't see that coming. With proven quality service, it's no wonder that thousands of homeowners have trusted Window Nation for their homes, and we do, and you can, too. I wouldn't be endorsing Window Nation. Elliot wouldn't be endorsing Window Nation if we didn't have full and complete trust in them and just enjoy being partners with them. Get a free and no-obligation quote now. It's easy. Call 866-90-NATION. Again, that's 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com to schedule.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, interesting report today coming out. Dan Graziano, Jeremy Fowler.
Two good reporters, by the way.
And Fowler has been locked in with Eagles as well.
Agreed.
You want to talk about someone over the last year, if we went like who's nailed the most Eagles stuff over the last year,
he'd be in the discussion. Fowler, Diana Russini.
Yeah, Fowler would be in the discussion. They put out a joint piece today with like what they're hearing. And Graziano coming from the top rope saying, we're trade up. We're all here in trade up. Trade up for a receiver? Maybe Brock Bowers, Elliot?
All right, so here
what
is.
What is going on, pal?
All right.
Talk to me here, buddy.
So this, let me pull up the information. So much information right now I need to constantly pull up.
There's so much stuff.
So let's start with the Brock Bowers thing, because this is where I actually have a new opinion on this.
Whoa, buddy.
So.
Oh, a new home.
I know.
So for those who don't know, if you're just tuning in for the draft.
Not the biggest, you know, Brock Bowers guy.
Elliot and nor I. Neither of us have been big Brock Bowers people.
So here's, if they're actually thinking of trading up for Brock Bowers, there has to be a big reason. So I looked this up. Kellen Moore, as an offensive coordinator, in 2021, he was 10th in the league in two tight end percentage.
Hmm.
In 2022, he was 10th in the league in two tight end percentage. In 2023, he was 7th in the league in two tight end percentage. He also, a lot of teams run two tight ends just to run the ball. Like, you know, he throws it out of two tight end at the highest, one of the highest clips in the league the last few years. So not only does Kellen Moore use two tight ends, when he's in the two tight end set, he throws it a lot out of there. Now, we can have our opinion of Brock Bowers, and I like it a little more after seeing that. But if Kellen Moore is saying, I'm going to run a lot of two tight end sets, then Brock Bowers makes a ton more sense than just like talking about this.
Agree. Your issue with it was mostly that they already have.
I would rather run a three wide receiver set and have a stud third wide receiver than a two tight end.
I would rather have Brian Thomas later without trading up.
Well, I would just rather have him in general.
Period. I would probably rather Brian Thomas, period.
Yeah, just
but
pick
I would
one
certainly
player.
Rather him at 22 than trade up to 10 or nine.
Now, Brian Thomas might not be there at 22.
I trade up four spots. My point is Brian Thomas is going 10 picks after Brock Bowers, right? Something like, who knows?
Right. But I think Brock Bowers is,
like we always say, every year we can't just follow the mock drafts. Who knows? But at least in mock drafts, Bowers is going significantly in front of Thomas.
I'll say this. I would be stunned. I'll almost make a guarantee. The Eagles are not trading into the top 10.
They're not going to get Brock Bowers. I just don't.
Look, if Brock Bowers is there at 16, maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm curious, after hearing that, do you feel different?
No. The littlest bit. I keep coming back to the Chioka Badia stat. Like that, I can't get out of my head. For those who haven't heard it, in the last 10 years, there have been 9 tight ends taken in the first round.
Yeah.
There's been 1,000-yard season among them all. Total, combined, 0 All-Pro, 0 Pro Bowl.
And these are also probably guys that are going to their team
as tight
end one. These are
guys like Kyle Pitts, and these are O.J. Howard. These are guys, there was guys, who was the, Pitts was fourth pick in the draft. There's another tight end went top 10 recently.
Well,
like,
the Lions tight end, isn't
the
it?
The Lions tight end,
Aiden Laporta or whatever?
Laporta. Yeah. No, he was the second round. He was legit.
Okay.
Laporta's
Hockenson?
Great. Hockenson. Thank you. Hockenson was a top 10 pick. Like, that was a few years ago, but still, like, and Hockenson actually, I think, was prior to that 10-year period. Hockenson's been good. He's made the pro.
So I don't know the answer to this question.
Regardless, the point is that all these guys have been taken high. It just hasn't worked.
Yeah.
So, and again, I keep coming, like, ultimately, where we differ, and again, I like Brian Thomas. I'm not going to be upset if they take him. I want defense.
I know you do.
Like, I want defense.
But here's the thing I would stress as we go into the draft. The better players in the draft are on the offensive side of the ball. I agree that defense, you could convince me it's a bigger need.
I'm happy I could convince you.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
But
I appreciate
the better players are on offense. There's better quarterbacks. There's better receivers. There's better offensive linemen. The defensive players in this draft are just not special. There will be Pro Bowl players. There will be All Pro players. I'm not saying that it's like a waste of a draft, but the corners just aren't that good in this draft. Like Terrion Arnold is a nice prospect. Quinyon Mitchell is a nice prospect. The edge rushers, fine prospects. Cooper DeJean, interesting prospect. None of them, in my opinion, are special prospects. I actually think the best edge rusher, we can get into this since they brought him in, is the UCLA guy. Now, the issue with...
The
issue with him is he's 23 and has already had neck surgery.
I keep thinking of Star Latulele, and I can't get that out, man.
If they draft him, we're really have to nail his name.
Oh, buddy, it's going to be
tough. The issue with him...
And I still can't say the Tuilopototu. What is his name?
Which guy is this?
The guy on the team already, Marlon...
Marlon Tuipulotu.
Tuipulotu.
I think is it, yeah.
I still can't name him. He's been on my team making plays.
Pronouncing names is not my strength in general.
Oh, me neither, buddy.
Yeah,
me
you're good at remembering, just not pronouncing
them. I'm great at remembering them. I'm horrible at pronouncing them, especially when I haven't heard them.
To what you were saying about they like the UCLA guy, I think he is someone that will come in and be good right away. Like, he comes with pass rush moves. He's been really productive. You're going to use a 23-year-old that has had neck problems, and it's... I don't know if he's more likely to injure his neck again, but what I do know is if he does, like, that's probably it. Like, you can't do a second neck surgery and then come back and play.
Especially that young.
So I just don't think how he would do it. Now, he probably came in to do medicals and all those things, but the fact they brought him in shows maybe, though, that they are okay with the medicals,
There's at least
that level of interest.
Interest, exactly.
So But I just, man, I just look at the defensive guys and I just don't think they're as good as you. Like, as simple, as simplistic as it is, if you told me they could take a player at a position and he's a guaranteed stud, I think I would probably go offensive line, edge rusher, corner. So I agree with you that getting players of stud value is needed on defense. I just think you have a better percentage to find a stud offensive line, a stud receiver, than you do a stud corner or a stud edge rusher.
All right, what do you make of the wide receiver part of it? Because we talked about Brock Bowers.
I think it's a possibility.
Yeah. You think they could trade up for a wide receiver?
Well, but again, like, trading up, it depends how you define it. Like, do I think they're going to move
up? Two spots or whatever,
yeah,
doesn't matter.
Do I think they're going to go up 10 spots to draft a receiver?
Like, when I think of trading up, like, for real, it's like, are you giving up one of your second round picks?
Right. Now, here's the other thing. If they do, if we're doing our post-draft pod, and they've drafted Brian Thomas Jr., and they've moved up to, like, 14 to take him, A.J. Brown is gone next year.
I would agree with that.
People can feel however they want about it. Like, obviously, Brian Thomas has to turn into a good pro. There's a chance that a year from now he's a bust, and then, you know, it is what it is. But if you draft Brian Thomas Jr. and give up, if he falls to you at 22 or you take him at 21, even then, A.J. is probably gone. But if you drive up 10 spots to get him, then they are not going to, in my opinion, pay A.J. a new deal next year and have Devontae at what he's
and
making.
And potential Brian Thomas. Well, it all depends on if Brian Thomas is any good. Like, if he's like,
saying,
if
Brian
he's
Thomas
Jalen
is
Reckner
good
in his first
yeah,
season,
if he's
not
good. Yeah. Right, but if he's... Yeah.
It's almost AJ insurance, but like...
But I also think
most likely to cash it out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, AJ at the end of this year is basically do a new deal.
Well,
they're
not
gonna
quite,
have to,
but he's going to have. The point
yeah,
is
because the way his base salary
left.
Is, like, they're going to want to redo it, in my opinion. So it's basically you have to decide if you want to double down on AJ after a year or if you want to trade
it. It's going to be fascinating because obviously, like... We know what we've seen from AJ, and, you know, people can feel how they feel about it. We're not going to dive into the freaking AJ thing again. But I would be very fascinated to know what the Eagle... Like, I would love to be a fly on the wall in, like, a Jeffrey Howie meeting about AJ. Right. Like, and, Nick. Like, I would love to know if like, because it might be no issue at all for them. Like, I don't know. But it also might be something that's a real problem in that building.
And if we want to go full draft chaos...
And again, we don't know what happened last season.
Let's say Brian Thomas Jr. falls to them at 22, and they love him. And they take him. Would they trade AJ now?
Probably not.
Probably not, but I don't know.
It's interesting.
I don't know.
All right, let's get to your big board.
Well, we've kind of already done the
big board. No, but we didn't do the last half of it. We did the first five. Just run through your first five quick and then do 6 through 10, and then let's just get your
then
top
add that,
ten.
I think we can make a final.
Good.
Well, I did a mock draft, but we can make a final prediction too.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so here is my first round big board. So I did a bit of it on Go Birds Radio, but if you missed that, for me, Talisi Fuaga is number one. Stud guard guy. I think has really good potential at tackle as well. I mean, he's played the position. So if you could tell me I could get any player in the draft, I'd pick him. I think he brings a great attitude to the offensive line. For me, one thing I've learned in covering the Eagles is personality really matters on the offensive line. The Eagles' best personalities on offensive line have been their best players. And the guys that I think have not panned out are guys that, when I'm around them, are just kind of quiet. So from everything you hear and read about Talisi Fuaga, he has a great personality. He's mean. He's like all those things. And mean in a good way. I mean, like, he's a nasty player on the field. So he'd be number one. Troy Fontanu out of Washington is number two. Very similar to Talisi Fuaga. I think just not quite as good of a prospect to tackle. That's why I put him number two. Arguably a better prospect to guard, but I think overall Talisi Fuaga is a better prospect. Byron Murphy fills a major need at defensive tackle, can rush the passer. I think you probably have to move up a little bit for him, but
I really like him.
I really like
so
him.
So I've watched him a bit, and right. like I'm
I think he'd be a stud player.
I will not be upset if they
yeah, I think
Byron
he's a well, to your point too, like, he's probably in my, well, obviously you can tell by the list, the best defensive player I think in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I like him better
you
than
think
Dallas
he's
Turner.
The best
I do.
Defense. Wow.
I do.
Okay.
Critical position, does an important thing, rushes the passer.
Look, he'll be one of the first, you know, 5 to 7 defensive players taken.
He'll be first one of the first
Could
three.
Could be one of the first. Well, it depends. Yeah. I mean, it depends on Turner versus the UCLA kid.
Yeah, but I think he goes ahead of Verse in the UCLA.
He might. He might. Might. I don't know that he will. And then Arnold and Mitchell.
Right. Yeah, so you're right. But I think he's, in my opinion, the best defensive player in the draft.
Yeah, that's a good take.
Brian Thomas Jr., number four. We've talked about him again. I just think this dude, like, I just think he's special. That's really the best way to put it. I'm not saying I feel the same way that you felt about Justin Jefferson, but when I watch him, I think he's worth ignoring a need for. You just put him on your roster. He's a stud guy. He's fast. He can stretch the field.
And
he
look,
has the size.
Third receiver is a need. Like,
yeah,
it's just not as big a need as maybe other spots.
Fifth, J.C. Latham. He's more of an offense.
He's going to go before them, most likely.
I think he probably will go before him. Although, some people have been saying he's dropping, but
Bama
who knows.
Guy.
But I think he's someone you don't have to trade into the top 15 for. I think he's like
really?
A smaller
move.
Really?
Oh, so he is because early drafts I was seeing, he was like going 12, no, 13.
Just my opinion. I
like Latham. I mean,
I like Latham
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I would be in on that. And he's a guy who could play guard and tackle too.
So this next guy, and this is my prediction as to who they take. This is number
six. You're going right to the prediction.
I'll just do it. Okay. I think if I had to pick one player that they ended up with, I think it's Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Here's my logic. He's probably going to be there at 22. He is a special, special athlete at the position. He has spent time with Lane Johnson this offseason. He is viewed as more of a project than a ready now guy. My only holdup with him
is he can't play guard?
Well, this is where I'm going to push back a little.
You think he can play guard?
No. I have no idea. But we don't know what the Eagles think. The Eagles could think he could play guard. I mean, he has the same body type as Landon Dickerson, who obviously plays guard. He's a better athlete than Landon Dickerson. And while we can, look, the people that write this know more about body types and what it takes to play guard than I do, but I just find it hard to believe that the guy's an ultra-athletic athlete that has the same body type as Landon Dickerson and he can't play guard. So, and if he's close with Lane, I think there's benefit to that, that you're going to be literally lining up next to Lane. So while I think Latham is a better guard prospect based off what you read, all of this comes down to evaluation. And there's a good chance if the Eagles take Guyton that I bet you they get up there and go, yeah, we think he can play guard. So Guyton to me, if they
real
don't...
Real quick, because we've talked about this for what we want. Like Mims is an example of a guy who cannot play, or we believe cannot play guard. We have said we obviously do not want them to take
a pure offensive tackle.
Do you think they would?
I think they would. Yeah, well, no, hold on. Let me take that back. I do not.
Okay, because I
completely misspoke there. I just don't buy that Howie will sit a guy for 2 years. I just don't buy it.
I think they could. I don't think they will, but I will not be fully shocked if they do, because I think they value the tackle position so much, and there's a chance to get a guy where in a normal draft where there's, you know, three or four offensive linemen going that high, you know, before 22 or whatever, a guy like maybe Mims is someone they think could be a top 10 pick in a different year when people need tackles more and there aren't as many. You just never know.
Right.
I'm saying how they evaluate it.
Let me say this on Mims really quick. I'm not big on Mims.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Hasn't played a ton. I know he's ultra athletic, but just a complete lack of tape. I don't know. I'm not as big into Mims. So I think they're going to want to go offensive line. If you had to tell me what corner is most likely to be on the Eagles, I think it's Kool-Aid. So Kool-Aid came in for a visit. I would guess he blew that visit away. He has like all everything you read about his personality is that he's like that dude when he walks in the building. I bet Nick loves him. I think he's someone that if he didn't get hurt, I think would probably be a top 10 pick this year. Coming into the year, he was viewed as a number one corner in the class. I think he'll represent value there at number 22. I think he'll be there at number 22. And he checks a need. Like, ultimately we can debate and differ on how big of a need corner is. It is a need. It's just of what level you think it is. So Kool-Aid would be the guy that I think is most likely to be selected if they take a corner. Number eight for me, they didn't bring him in. I don't think he's going to be an Eagle, but Nate Wiggins, I really like him. And then nine for me is Terrion Arnold. He came in, another really good potential. If they do trade up, I think he'd be one of the guys maybe they move up for. The 10th guy hasn't been talked about a lot. I think he's a trade back option. Like if at 22 they're sitting there and they get a good offer and they move back to like 29, Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, former track and field guy, played guard, played tackle, great athlete. I think he's someone that we don't talk about enough as a possibility.
And your favorite corner in the draft is none of these guys, right? It's a guy from Oregon, if you had to pick one.
Well,
guy.
No, he's like my... So my
he's your favorite, like, non of the top guys. He's like your... If they're going later round, go for Kyrie.
So Nate Wiggins was my initial number one guy. I think I've moved to Kool-Aid. I just, like... You can't pass up on a stud.
You started as a true freshman.
Yeah, like, I'm just... I'll bet on Kool-Aid. Now, I love Nate Wiggins, too. If they take Nate Wiggins, besides the positional thing, I think he's a stud player. But, yeah, I think Kool-Aid's my number one. Number one corner.
So, on the corner thing, meant to mention this before, I didn't realize this. Rhea put this in the update today. I didn't realize this. I don't know if you did. Do you know the connection between Quinyon Mitchell and Nick Sirianni?
So, I know he has a lot of Toledo ties, but I don't know what they are.
Quinyon Mitchell's coach, the head coach at Toledo, was Nick Sirianni's college roommate. They played together in college.
Wow.
So, that is... interesting. Like that is so.
Well, I guess
again,
we know.
Look,
I guess we know where the Eagles
the
like.
Again, look. I think Howie's making the pick. I don't think you think Nick will be more involved than I do. But I think we both agree. Like Nick will.
But it's
be,
a lot of good information.
Nick will be in the room. Nick can at least give them insight on or get the Toledo whatever. I think it's fascinating. It's something that's interesting to note that I'm surprised I did not hear until today.
Here's an interesting.
That's
question.
A connection that is interesting.
If you're Nick Sirianni, do you trust that this guy is telling you the truth about Quinyon Mitchell. Because on one hand, he's like one of your, I would assume one of your best friends. He was your maybe they don't like each other. Who knows? But if he was your college roommate, you obviously have some level of a relationship that's, I would assume, somewhat close. But also, this guy has all the incentive in the world not to tell the truth about Quinyon.
Until he gets drafted. After he gets drafted, then no, you're right. I don't know. I think I would be flawed in that. Here's what I'll say, though. We had TCU's coach on after Rager, Peterson.
Yeah.
He came on our show.
And I remember, wasn't that high on him.
Earmuffs 1, 2, 3. He shit all over Jalen Rager.
Yeah.
He was basically like, yeah, I don't know. Like, that was the tone of the interview was... I don't know, guys.
Yeah.
Like, when it's like, we just drafted his kid in the first round, he was like, good
I remember,
luck.
Yeah, I remember this.
It was
actually,
shocking.
Yeah.
So, like, I do think that, to your point, yes, he has reason for it for him to be drafted high and it helps his program. But at the same time, he also, it's relationships and it's all that type of stuff where he's like, listen, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like, this is the issue. So I could see it going either way. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough spot for Nick. But regardless, you're getting good information that other teams are probably not getting that level of information.
That level of information.
Like, he's probably telling all the teams the same thing and then probably telling Nick a little more.
So my prediction, I'll make my official prediction.
So mine is Tyler Guide.
So I will pick one, but you just mentioned, I think they get one of the two Alabama quarterbacks. Corner.
Yeah.
Not quarter. They're two Alabama quarterbacks. Is even the Alabama quarterback in the draft? I think they'll get one of the two. And I actually think if they trade up, I think it's Arnold. If they stay at 22, I think it's Cooley.
I would agree. Like, if you told me the three guys I think are most likely to be Eagles, it'd be Tyler Guyton, Troy Fontanu, and it would be Kool-Aid McKentry. Those would be my three.
Where's Fontanu, who's going a little higher? That's a trade-up guy. It looks like, again, we're going on mock drafts that are wrong all the time.
He, to me, seems like he's a 14 to 18 guy.
Okay.
So if he gets to 18, then you're only moving up a few spots. Obviously, 14 would be a more expensive move.
All right. So we are going to be back tomorrow with, like, basically just a hype show.
Just a talk.
We get ready to get excited on the day of it. And then, of course, a post-draft pod, whether it's the next morning or whatever, depending on how things play out. Final thoughts, my friend.
Okay. I am so done with automatic doors on cars.
Ooh.
I hate them.
This is like a Uber Lyft thing?
Yeah,
where they have to open the door if you're
and then you have to ask. And like,
Elliot,
you touch it and it messes everything up. Get out. And it's like, here's the deal.
It's a great
opening a door, not that hard. I understand there's probably certain people that need automatic doors. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying in general that automatic doors are not as helpful as people make them out to be. They're difficult to use. You have to communicate with the person. I'd rather just get out of the car. When you're out of the car, you then have to be like, should I shut this? And then if like it starts to move, but you already touched it, so it goes back. Like, not a great invention. I'm not that into it. I think it's right up there with the paper towel
right
hand dryer. But at least that you're helping the environment.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I just wipe my hands on my pants when that.
Well,
I won't do it. I hate those things. They're
so I don't
annoying.
Like them either. I'll shake my hands.
Yeah, I'll shake and then wipe on my pants.
Agreed. Yes.
You know,
I'm not like
gonna
going
like
right
go
to the
super
pants.
No. Yeah. Shake.
Yeah,
you know,
shake till they're basically dry, and then go
and then,
like this.
Yeah, that's what I do. Agreed. Yeah, no, I'm not like soaking my hands.
Yeah, exactly.
No. I shake them first. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm done with them. I don't want them on my car.
So I can't remember. Are you a Lord of the Rings guy?
No.
I didn't think
I'm not so. Anti-Lord of the Rings,
you know what it
but
is?
I'm not.
It's that Jack is one. I knew that one of the two.
Jack's a Lord of the Rings
and it
guy?
Shocked me. He's
wow,
like,
for
I
as
love
much as he makes fun of
that's
fantasy.
That's my point, right?
Yeah.
So I knew one of you two was. All right, so I'll save that. I'll get back to my Lord of the Rings take. It's just a thought I had. Well, so do you ever have this? This is pretty annoying. I'm going to do
is
something
this
else.
Your final?
I'm going to save my Lord of the Rings thing. But what just happened is an impromptu final thought.
All right.
Do you ever hit the microphone button on your like?
Oh,
notes?
I hate it so
I
much.
I hate it. And then it goes
yeah.
like, so like I got like a million things. And it's that's my point. Blah,
well,
blah,
here's
blah.
The other
like,
thing too. I don't know how to do the like where you just talk in the phone and it types it. Like, I'm sure I could figure it out.
You just hit that's the
but
thing.
Do you hold it or do you just hit
no,
it?
No, you could. I think you used to have to hold it, and now I think you could just hit it and then you have to X
right.
out of it.
I'm just, I can never.
I don't do it. I don't do it.
Either.
I don't type with my mouth.
You know who does it all the time?
Who?
John Clark.
I could see that. I mean, there are a lot of people, like, people who just literally only use their phones through their mouth.
I was
like,
on
they
a,
never type text. They don't, like.
And what's amazing
my
about.
My mom does it. Like, every text my mom sends, she
right.
puts her phone to her mouth and, you know, blah, 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 period. Blah, 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 this, you know.
So John Clark, who I love, one of my better friends in the media world, like, we will be on buses where people are quiet. I remember at the Super Bowl he did this.
And he's just starting.
And he's doing it. We'll be outside the Eagles practice, and he'll be in his phone like, you know, Jalen Hurts said. It's wild. Like, I respect it. His fingers are probably in better shape than mine.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to, two things. One, a quick follow-up.
All right.
Former final thought.
You're getting your wallet out. Oh, I just remembered I had such a good one about license, but I'll hold.
Well, we were going to pod tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, good point.
So if you remember, I did that fortune cookies should be banned.
Yes.
Very upset with the state of fortune
cookies. Not a fan of the fortune cookies.
Yeah, just to hammer this home, this is a fortune. Okay, we all know what a fortune is, right? Something's going to happen to
you.
So
you really save these fortune cookie things. Yeah,
okay, ready?
How often are you getting Chinese?
This is my fortune that I got. Never, actually. I get it only when Emily's out of town. Emily was out of town.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So Emily's not a huge Chinese fan, so I get it whenever she's out of town.
Right.
And that's like twice a year. Dreams are like the stars of your destiny. What kind of fortune is that?
Well, it's certainly not
it's
a fortune.
It's a ridiculous statement.
It's just a state. It's a saying.
It's not colloquialism. It's like that type of thing. Dreams are like the stars of your destiny. Where's my fortune?
There's
okay?
None. And I will say with the draft here, it would be an awesome time to get a real fortune.
Thank you. Yeah. Your team, something exciting will be entering your life.
Fortune. Isn't it wild to think about Howie Roseman getting Chinese maybe, opening a fortune cookie.
And making a decision based
on it.
And then
sitting in the draft and be like,
I did get that fortune cookie.
Yeah, like
it said I should think about the West
Coast.
Right,
like you wouldn't actually like make the decision off that, but it is crazy. Like Howie's a human. There's probably
winking at you thing right. Where it's like, wait a minute. You had a big one of those. We can't talk about it on the pod, but you had a really wild.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You did.
Yeah,
we can't talk about it.
Yeah, I can't say it on the pod.
No, but it was like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So here's my real final thought then. I'll say my Lord of the Rings one for tomorrow. Maybe you should watch all three movies before tomorrow. So you can
will not be
They're
doing
only
that.
About 3 hours each. You should be
fine. Right.
There are many social media trends that I don't get or that I'm not a part of or
right.
that annoy me. And there's some that are great. Some I'm like, that's cool. Keep doing yep. that.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
There's never been a worse.
Than the JK one.
I don't know where it came from, but the in between this and yeah. this on your keyboard. So you know where it came. I don't know.
No, I don't know where.
Look between G and D on
well,
your keyboard.
Well, have you done it?
Go bleep yourself. It's so dumb. I did it one time.
And it
for
means
the first
JK. What you do
oh,
is.
Oh, is it every time it's JK? So no, one time I saw it and a guy. So I guess someone was playing with it.
Right.
And it was D and it was a dick joke that he was making.
Okay.
And he's like,
so people
look to wherever you're going to find what I did to your mom or something stupid
okay.
like that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like it.
The D. So dumb. So I guess they're all spinoffs of this. So
yeah.
So what happened?
Well, I have no idea how it started. I'm just saying I've seen it where it's like, you know. Dak's a better quarterback than Jalen. Look between letters, whatever. Because J and K are next to each other.
It's the dumbest.
I think they are, at least. Maybe it was a... Yeah, J and K.
Look between H and L,
yeah.
This is the dumbest social media thing that has happened in so long.
I agree.
Like, I hate it.
I 100% agree.
I will scroll right past it. I won't look up the keyboard.
Yep.
I hate it. If you're doing it, stop.
I agree. It's not funny.
It's
not
funny. It's
just like,
it's not cool.
I'm not saying it's like a... It's like not funny in the way that it's not humorous. It literally is
just
not
lame.
Funny. Yeah.
And honestly, like, you know what? It's annoying to pull. We don't. I can type without looking. I can't think what's next to what on the
You do realize line. People are going to tweet this at you now.
Oh, yeah. I didn't
like, you are setting yourself up for this.
I did get a Happy Monday tweet, so I guess
that's
I
what
am.
I'm saying.
I got one on the radio, Shaz. Someone called in and was like, not as annoying. I think it was Justin Richmond. It was somewhere.
Makes
like,
sense.
It wasn't Justin Richmond. Someone else. Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
We'll be back tomorrow with a draft day show. How about it? We're here.
Should be fun.
Maybe as I put my
lots of content
the way
over
there.
These all next right. few days.
Lots of content. Show on Saturday. All the good stuff. Until then, he's Adam James.